Some of you are trying to get through, and some of you are missing a really good opportunity. A really good opportunity to call the program. Hey, listen, if you don't like what I'm talking about, if you want me to take this conversation in a different direction, or you just want to go in your own direction, do it. Call 1-800-636-8686. Open phones right now. Coming up next segment, Damian Lee, Golden State Warriors guard. Next hour, Charlie Culberson of the Atlanta Braves. I'm broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. My name is Jim Rome. All right, so listen, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks. Middle of the summer, two-week break. It starts on Monday. I've got guest hosts all lined up. It's going to be fine. You'll be taken care of. Hell, you're probably ready for a break from me. I get that. I understand that. But you should take advantage of it. And if there's something you want to say about the first half of 2018, anything at all, hit me up right now because I am gone for 2 weeks. Now, this guy knows. Somebody also said earlier in the week, where are you going? It was an ATP question. Where are you going? And I laid out our vacation. We are going to Wisconsin. I'm going to Eagle River for a few days. We have friends who own a home there. We're going to hang out with them. Then we're going to move on to Madison and tour the University of Wisconsin. Man, I got to say, that Badger family is strong. The Badger family is proud. A lot of people have hit me up. People I know, people I don't know, people I know of but I've never met, saying, hey, listen, what do you need? I've never seen that before. Like, I've mentioned the world tour that we're taking for Jake, my older son, and where he's been, that he went to Notre Dame, that he went to Northwestern, that he went to Missouri, that he went to Stanford and Cal, Santa Clara. I mentioned all these schools, you know, and there was a little bit of reaction. But nobody said, hey, listen, what do you need? Who do you need to see? What can we do to help you? I'm getting a lot of support from the Wisco Army. Feels good, too. Because honestly, we had nothing planned other than your standard tour. All of us said, now, hey, Rome, what do you need? Like, every door is opening. It's pretty awesome. But there is this. This is a real concern. This guy hit this before I could even... I wasn't going to mention this, but I've been thinking about it. Caleb is in with this. Romy. I'm pretty excited about you and your family traveling to my state for your vacation, but I have some advice. If a TV camera adds 10 pounds, Wisconsin adds 75 pounds. Here, self-control at the dinner table exists only in theory, but rarely in practice. We don't want you to return in 2 weeks looking like the blimp in the box. Or your boys to be known to the clones as Cake and Loganberry. I'm extremely worried that your first show back in the jungle will be live from the recovery room after your first angioplasty. Or worse, that you'll have a coronary on TV right in front of us. And God forbid, we'll be stuck with Hawk and Arnold for the foreseeable future. Please, while you're enjoying the beautiful scenery, have only a handful of fried cheese curds. Don't consume enough ranch dressing to fuel a jet ski. And most importantly, bench the salt. Have a great summer vacation. See you soon. Greasily yours, Caleb in Green Bay. Unwore Jake, putting on the freshman 170 if he decides to go to UW-Madison.
Bench the salt.
Thanks, Albie. Way to get that today. That's fine, Albie. Considering what you did in the open, you have yourself a lot of goodwill in the bank. Hey, Caleb, seriously, I know this to be true. Look, if I'm going to stay with a friend in his home, you know we're not working out. So already on vacation. Already on vacation? Come on, man. This is hard enough to do at home in your own environment when you're regimented, allegedly. I've got no prayer. I've got no prayer on vacation, and I really have no prayer if I'm going to the great state of Wisconsin on vacation, and I really have no prayer if I'm staying with somebody else. Yeah, I probably will put on 10 or 15. If the camera puts on 10, he says. If the camera puts on 10, one problem. There are three cameras in the studio. This is a real concern. You try going on vacation and staying with one of your best friends at his home. He opens up the entire house for you and your family. What are you going to do? Yeah, no, bro, I'm good. I think I'll have a kale salad. Yeah, no, I'm not going to drink tonight, bro. No, I'm not. I'm not going to have that cheese curd delicacy of Eagle River. Yeah, no, you got any celery? Oh, hell no. Yeah, I don't think that's how that's going to go. You know, I know how it's going to go. It's going to go really badly. That's how it's going to go. So count on that. Count on me coming back and me looking fatter than ever and me having to check my boys, Cake and Loganberry. Loganberry, we can't get Loganberry to eat. That's not going to be a problem for him. He's all about a six-pack. That kid doesn't, he's not into it. Now, Cake, on the other hand, Cake and I will be in the gym fighting the good fight. Thank you very much, Caleb. That fat alarm will be going off for sure in Wisco.
Thank you.
At Hitman Canadian tweets, we never talked about the A's. Lots of F's, though, signed Hawk and Flight Deck's parents opening their son's high school report cards. It's not very funny. Let me ask you something, Adam. That phone bank is a freaking Christmas tree. Why are you not picking them up? Go to work, man. I know we're off for 2 weeks. Well, you're not. I am. Don't start that vacation before the end of hour three, if you don't mind. He's like, one of them's Larry. Yeah, but the other three aren't. 1-800-636-8686. Weird, weird day on the links. Weird day on the links. Let's talk a little golf right now. The Open Championship is in the books, but that does not mean that there's not still some notable golf being played across the lake in Europe right now, because there really is. The old dudes are getting after it at St. Andrews for the Senior Open. The Euro Tour is in Germany right now. Both tournaments had some pretty bizarre moments go down in their respective opening rounds. Very quickly, starting at the old course, on the famous 17th hole, where Mark James put one on the peg, and then he put one right on a damn seagull.
Tee shot at the road hole at 17, which is obviously pulled way left. Oh, did he catch a seagull there? I think he did.
I think he did.
You did not, Alvin. You doctored that up. Can I hear that one more time, please?
Tee shot at the road hole at 17, which is obviously pulled way left. Oh, did he catch a seagull there? I think he did.
I think he did.
Well, bro, can you try not to make light of that? I was not going to. Speaking of I was not going to, going back to that iconic Open today, the legendary Open, Hawk, after the Open, turned to Alvin and said, did the two of you guys work that up? Were you planning that? Like, I had no idea that was coming. Did you plan that? And Alvin said, dude, no. He's just, I don't know, man. He's going on vacation for 2 weeks. He's feeling it. So I just kind of follow him. You know that. No, we did not plan that. Just as I did not plan what Alvin just did to that bird. I'm not making light.
Tee shot at the road hole at 17, which is obviously pulled way left. Oh, did he catch a seagull there? I think he did.
I think he did.
Yeah, that's not cool, Alvin. Don't do that. Randy freaking Johnson with a driver, if you need him. Seems to me it's hard enough to calculate for the wind at St. Andrews. Even tougher when you have to calculate for birds that turn themselves into avian martyrs 30 yards from your tee shot. That rock squared up that goal so flush that it ricocheted from a draw to a fade that went OB and then led to a very unfortunate triple bogey for Mark James. That killed the round for James. My greater concern, it probably killed the bird. At last check, it did not. It did not. So we know this much. He carded a 7, finished 5 over. His Senior Open, probably over after today, which only seems fair considering that seagull's life could have been over yesterday, but thankfully is not. Meanwhile, in Germany, at the Porsche European Open, Masters champ Patrick Reed was getting his back nine started on the par 4 10th. He had some work that he had to do after he missed the green in regulation, so he needed to pull out a baby wedge from just off the green to get the up and down started. Problem for him, getting it started, because apparently a cameraman and a boom mic operator standing nearby were making too much noise for him to hit that shot. And Reed and his caddy were not having that at all.
You're rattling change in your pocket. That's what I'm pointing at you for.
Well, thank you. Stop. Yeah. You know what? No, I need you all to go over there on that side of the
please.
Green. Go.
You can just walk away.
I need camera guy, too, since he's part of you. Sorry. He lost privileges by going like that with change. Keep going. I'm not hitting until y'all get the heck out of here. Like, completely out of here. Ridiculous.
Like, get on a freaking plane and get the hell out of here. Get off this continent. Reed and his caddy were not having it. Like, damn. Damn. You people are on a golf course. You know this is golf, right? Not a Coinstar?
Damn you people, this is golf! Not a rock concert!
Look, either you love Patty Reed or you hate his guts. Either you love this guy's fire and his drive or you hate his red ass. Because you look at this guy and he kind of looks like a teddy bear, but he's got the personality of a grizzly bear. We all know the reports. We've all read the reports. We all know that he's estranged from his family. My thing about that is, I don't know what goes on. I don't know what happened between him and his family. I don't know what happens between you and your family. You don't know what happens between me and my family. So I'm just going to put that aside. Now, we do know he's kind of a loner, allegedly. We all know that he's not always the easiest dude to pull for. Doesn't bother me. This guy does not bother me. In fact, I'd love to have him on the show. Does not bother me. But you shouldn't be surprised knowing what you do know. And you don't know everything, but knowing what you do know, it should not surprise anybody that he dressed this guy down and told him he's, quote, lost his privileges. And saying that he, quote, won't hit it till y'all get the heck out of here. That should not be surprising. Now, what is a little surprising is that that camera crew just kind of sheepishly did exactly what he said. Haven't these dudes listened to Ep 30 of the Jim Rome podcast with Steve Elkington? Because when Elk was involved with something like that, Elk was the dude being told off. And the guy telling him off was Bubba Watson, who thought that Elk and his caddy were distracting him on purpose. Here's how Elk handled being publicly scolded.
I walk around, I push my nose up against him. I said, look, idiot, we don't do that out here. But here's what's going to happen when we get in. I'm going to kick your out of you. I'm going to flatten that nose, and you're going to get to pick where you want it flattened. I left it at that because I was playing good, mate. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so we get in, and I'm not shaking his hand. We go into the locker, into the scorer's tent. There's two security guys and two guys from the tour. We go in, they go, Elk, we would rather you not say anything to the media about what Bubba did to you out there. And I said, okay, I'll respect that. So I go in and I blew up in there and said, look, my this is, you know, we don't do this on tour. You don't blow up at players like this. We're on TV. I mean, what are you, some kind of a clown? And I said, I'm going to knock the shit out of you, and I'm going to wait by your car where your name is, and I'm going to meet you out there. I'm going to flatten that ugly nose of yours over there. Well, he busts out crying.
Damn. Elk, I forgot the lava that was spewing that day. Mount Elk erupted in telling that story. That's episode 30. So when I'm on vacation, number one, listen to the guest hosts. They're great. They're all polished. They're all pros. But if you want to get caught up, that's not a bad place to start right there. Elk on episode 30 of the Jim Rome podcast, telling that story about Bubba Watson. I guess what I'm saying is Patrick Reed is lucky that Elk was not the guy working that camera or the boom mic. Because Elk, quote, would have let Patrick Reed pick where he wanted his nose flattened. You see, golf can be interesting without the cat. Just takes nuking a bird and wearing out a camera crew. Weird day yesterday. Interesting day. When we come back, we'll talk some Golden State basketball. Damian Lee is my guest. That's next. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get some phone calls in at some point. Are you ready for a multivitamin that is actually proven to make you feel better? Then choose GNC. I have. And the reason I have is their in-house science team combines nutrients and ingredients to deliver products that do work. Because not all multivitamins are created equal. That's a fact, and that's why you should choose a clinically proven GNC multivitamin that makes you feel better. And you can save 30% on all GNC multivitamins in-store and online Thursday through Saturday. Exclusions do apply. See an associate for details. The study results are based on 6 weeks of use. That's GNC.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Speaking of golf, Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson, and Dustin Johnson lead the charge. Jonathan Vegas is shooting for three in a row at the RBC Canadian Open. It is this weekend on CBS. All right, as promised, we are joined right now, and this story is incredible. This is an amazing story. We are joined by a guest who was undrafted in 2016 out of Louisville, two seasons in the G League. He signed a two-way contract with Golden State earlier this month, and he joins us now to tell a story. Damian Lee is my guest. Damian, it's great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. I'm doing great out here, living in the Bay right now, so I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah, man, I hear that. I hear that, Damian. When I look at your background and your story and your journey, you could not take it any other way but day by day. I think to fully appreciate where you are right now, maybe you can help me tell this story. If you go back a little bit, you were playing your college ball at Drexel. You're in your junior year. Back in 2013, you're playing Arizona, one of the best teams in the country, in Madison Square Garden. What do you remember about that game?
The morning of that game felt a little bit different. Just something felt weird. I mean, of course, it could have been just playing the number one team in the nation. Fast forwarding down to the game. Now I remember they had Aaron Gordon, T.J. McConnell, Brandon Ashley, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I mean, they were loaded. And with 10 minutes left into the game, I try to make a move on TJ, make a jump stop, and then next thing I know, I feel a snap, and I hear a snap.
So you make that move to the basket, and you feel that, you hear a snap, and then this is bad news. Right up until that point, you had never had surgery before, and then you get word, Damian, that you're done for the season with an ACL injury in the right knee. So since you had never been through something like that, what was it like to hear that news, and were you worried that you might not ever be the same again?
Yeah, definitely worried that I probably wouldn't be the same again. You know, hearing, you know, other people that have torn their ACL, just the whole mixed emotions, thinking, will I ever be back to who I was? Will I ever be better? There was a lot of things going through my mind, but, you know, once I finally went through surgery and settled down, my mom really stuck by me and told me just to keep pushing every single day and I'll be even better than I was before.
Damian Lee, my guest, which is exactly what you did, right? You battle all the way back, and then you do the rehab, and then in 2015, you're playing Northeastern, and then somebody hits your hand when you go up for a layup. You kept on playing. You had 30 in that game, but your hand was still bothering you. So then what happened?
Yeah, so it was about 5 minutes into that game. My hand got hit. I'm still playing. Hand gets a little swollen at halftime. You know, I told my trainer just to buddy tape my fingers together, and I wasn't going to come out the game. After the game, hand still bothering me, it's swollen. We end up going to the hospital and then coming to find out that I had an oblique fracture in my hand, in my shooting hand.
I said, Damian, now you've worked your way back from an ACL injury, and then you break your shooting hand, and now you're going to have to work your way back from that as well. So how did you deal with that mentally and emotionally after already coming back from a significant injury?
I think the hand injury actually wasn't that bad because I could still walk. Tearing your ACL, you're on crutches for 6-8 weeks. So I think the hand injury really wasn't that bad. I feel like it actually helped me because I did everything with my left hand for those 2-3 months. So then my left hand actually got a little bit better going into the summer.
All right, so then you deal with that. So now you're in your final year of eligibility, and you transfer to Louisville. So what was that decision-making process like, and what made you choose Louisville?
It was tough. I probably could have stayed at Drexel and tried to, you know, make a run at going to the NCAA tournament, but I feel like I tapped out my potential there. All my friends, close friends growing up, all played in the ACC, Big East, Pac-12. So for me to finally have that opportunity, really, I definitely want to take full advantage of it. And, going to Louisville, playing in front of 22,000 fans, you know, despite what happened, I still say this to this day, you know, I wouldn't give that year up for anything. Playing in front of those fans and playing with a couple people like Ray Spall and Donovan Mitchell that I'm sure that other fans know about.
Golden State Warrior Damian Lee, my guest. All right, like you said, like you're not giving that year up for anything despite what happened, which we can get into. But also keep in mind, February of 2016, I mean, you'd beaten UNC, who was the number one team in the country. But then at that point, you find out that the school is going to self-impose a postseason ban. I mean, you went through all this physically, and then you hear that. When you found that out, what went through your mind? What did you think?
I was hurt, honestly. You know, just going through everything, finally having that chance to be able to play in the tournament. Now, thinking that we were probably going to get a 3 seed, maybe 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, and anything could happen. Definitely hurt, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I can't complain about what happened now.
Damian Lee, my guest. I mean, Damian, that we're not through this story yet. There's even more still to come. So then you go undrafted. You go to training camp with the Celtics. You sign with their D-League team, the Maine Red Claws. What were your first impressions of the D-League?
Definitely a grit and grind type of situation. I feel like when you play in the D-League, there's, like, no respect because everyone wants to try to make it to the NBA. It's basically dog-eat-dog. Every day, night in, night out, whether it's assignment guys are down or guys are just trying to find their niche in the D-League to try to get a call-up. Everybody's really trying to play for a 10-day.
All right, so then finally, you're there, right? You're doing it. You're doing your thing. You're grinding. But then December 2016, a couple of days before Christmas, you tear the ACL in your left knee. So now you've torn both ACLs. You've broken your shooting hand. I mean, emotionally, Damian, where are you at that point? And are you starting to wonder, like, man, maybe it's just not meant to be?
I'm not going to lie. Some of those thoughts did cross my mind early in tearing my left ACL. But the crazy part about that was I only partially tore it. So the ACL has two bundles and only one snap. And regardless of whether you partially tear it or fully tear it, you have to go through the same surgery again. So for me, you know, I knew what I went through the first time. I knew that I came back even better. And this time, you know, not only did I have the support of my mom and my close friends, but I had the support of the woman who's now my fiance. So, you know, just having people that really believe in me and trusted in me and know that I could become even better, I think that made that whole process even easier.
So you have this amazing support group. You go through the grind once again. And then in March of this year, and you went through that whole rehab process again, you're in a hotel in Dallas. You get a call in March of this year from your agent. What did he say in that call?
He said, "Damian, get up." And I was like, why? It's like 9:30 in the morning Dallas time, and we're about to have practice or shoot around at like 11. He's like, "Damian, get up." And I'm like, why? He's like, I need you. I was like, all right, like, what's up? He said, "I need you to get on a flight to Atlanta right now. You finally got your 10-day.
So you get this phone call, and after everything you've gone through, the broken hand, the two ACLs, the D-League, you get a phone call that you're going to sign a 10-day contract with an NBA team, that, like, the dream is about to become a reality. What's going through your mind at that point?
Everything, really. You know, just thinking back of the last 5 years, how my life's been and how my story is sort of being molded. But I think still, like, the crazy part about it is, like, it hasn't fully hit me that I've played in the NBA. I've mentally envisioned it for, like, so long that I am an NBA player, and then being in that moment playing against, you know, NBA superstars night in and night out, really, I don't think it's really set in yet, because I've mentally prepared myself for this moment.
Damian Lee, my guest, I got to ask you, so you mentioned your mother a couple of times, that she had been there for you, she'd help you through this whole thing, she kept pushing you. As you point out, you barely had time. Your agent makes that phone call, you got to get to Atlanta as quickly as possible. There was not a lot of time, but you had enough time to call your mother. What was that call like?
Yeah, I called my mom. She was at work. She's a registered nurse. And I think she kind of had an idea about it, but I still, you know, called her and told her. And she immediately started crying. And that was a very, very special moment, because, you know, her especially, just knowing everything that I've been through, her raising me basically by herself with help of, you know, my aunt and grandparents. Really just her having that. I think me getting that call up was a testament to how women can raise men.
Damian Lee joining us. So you get in, and you're living the dream. You're playing in the NBA. You have 13 points, 4 rebounds in that game. Was there a moment, I mean, was the whole thing, like, surreal, or was there a moment like, yeah, man, I belong, I proved it. Now everybody knows.
No, definitely. Just, you know, having that assurance from, like, your peers, like guys like, PG, Westbrook and Melo, even, you know, throughout the game, like, who are you, like, where'd you come from? And then a guy like Melo, you know, being from Baltimore as well, I actually played for his AAU team when I was younger. And I mentioned that to him during the game. He was like, I remember you. He was like, man, you belong here. So, you know, just keep on pushing.
Dude, that's got to feel so good. Damian Lee, my guest. So finally, earlier this month, you signed a two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors. So now you not only have a chance to play in the NBA, but to do it for the two-time defending champions and to play alongside your future brother-in-law, Steph Curry. So what does that opportunity represent to you?
It's huge. I mean, for me, just thinking about, you know, the past year playing with Santa Cruz Warriors, playing with you know, the G League team, really think it's all coming full circle. So I'm just excited for the opportunity. I feel like my playing style fits in with the Golden State Warriors. So really just excited to come in and just play and, you know, contribute as well as I can.
Yeah, I just got to finally ask you this. I mean, as I mentioned, your story, your journey is amazing. It's almost impossible even to tell in one segment on this show. But you're taking this all in stride. I mean, the path to this moment might not have been what you expected. It might not have been what you wanted. But when you look back on all the challenges that you've faced, dealt with, and overcome, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I mean, my first thought is that God is real. I mean, I feel like there's no other way that my story could have been written for everything to line up the way that it has been. From, you know, getting injured to even transferring from Drexel to Louisville, picking my agent, coming out here to Oakland, meeting my girlfriend then, who's not my fiance, you know, playing out here in Santa Cruz, getting called up by the Hawks, just the way that everything has been lined up shows me that God is real and that he has a plan, not only for me, but for everyone. And it's just a matter of if you heed to it or not. If, you know, you stay diligent, stay true to who you are and just continue to grind. I mean, I feel like he'll bless you tenfold.
What a powerful message that is. Damian Lee, my guest, he signed that two-way contract with Golden State earlier this month, and it's been an amazing journey to be sure. Damian, really nice to have you on the show. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you. And stay on that grind. I know you will, and I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Damian, very much. Nice to have you on the show, and thanks for sharing that story. As I mentioned, that's an almost impossible story to tell. That's got podcasts written all over it. It needs that kind of legs and room, but that's a really good dude. And like you said, stay on the grind, stay diligent. Two torn ACLs, broken shooting hand, D-League, undrafted, transferred to Louisville. You know what happened there. And just kept battling, kept fighting. And now gets a shot to play with Golden State. All right, we will come back. Looking ahead to hour number three. Lots to get done that hour, meaning you should call right now. Charlie Culberson joins us in the third hour. I've got an ATP. I've got the ultimate getaway week that was from Alvy. You know what kind of game he has? You heard.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is, in fact, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It was tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade, so we know it's true. It helps to fight friction and deliver outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Like I said, I'm getting a lot of reaction from Wisco, Wisconsin. Everybody in and around the state listening is fired up that we're coming. We're hyped too. Dear Rome, longtime listener, first time emailing. I'm driving a tractor, listening to your show, and I just heard that you were coming to our great state of Wisconsin. What better way to enjoy America's dairy land than to stop at our farm and milk some cows? Love the show. Thanks for the laughs. Have a great vacation. Gary in Wisconsin. Gary, thank you. I may take you up on that. I've never milked a cow. Sounds pretty awesome. Can we tip cows too? I got a buddy of mine. A buddy of mine named Spots. Spots and I grew up in the San Fernando Valley together in the 818. And he goes to Ohio State and I go to UC Santa Barbara. I'm like, bro, like, what's Columbus like? He's like, dude, it's great. I said, really? What do you do for fun? we cow tip. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, we go cow tipping. I'm like, what the hell is cow tipping? You know, we get blasted and we go out in the field in the pasture and we run into cows. I'm like, are you an idiot? You cow tip. That's a long, long time ago, yo. Never heard of that before. I grew up a sheltered kid in the 818. I'd never seen a cow before. Yet my boy's running around drunk in Columbus, slamming into cows. That sounds like a lot of fun. Come on, Tiger, you're better than that. Let's see. Also from Wisco, Count Smackula. See you next week, bro. Sincerely, all the deer that are going to run out in front of your car. Bratwurst for three meals a day. Mustaches. Denim from head to toe. Beer that tastes like formaldehyde. And everyone being cousins with each other. Signed, Derek in Des Moines? It's somebody in Des Moines saying that about Wisconsin. Bachelor of Journalism from Nebraska. War three-day weekend asking Halle Berry what she thought of Jay Stu.
Yes, Halle Berry, what she thought of Jay Stu. She said, I love a man with moles all over his head. Yeah, yeah, Jay Stu's a maniac, a freaking maniac. Jay Stu's a maniac, a freaking maniac. Jay Stu's a maniac.
I'll say it one more time. We got that song, and it was written for Jason Stewart, who used to book the show and screen calls. There was a band in Houston, three-day weekend, that wrote that song. It stopped the show for 3 days. That's all we talked about for 3 days was that song. We talked about nothing else. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. Go check the lyric sheet on that song. We asked Halle Berry what she thought of Jay Stu, and she said, I love a man with moles all over his head. Yeah, yeah. You got to hear the entire song. Benny in Wisco is in. He tweets, I saw some idiot catch a seagull with his nose once. Regards, Fabio's roller coaster. And Drew in West LA says, every story elk tells seems like a stretch. Thanks, R. Zellweger's face. Drew, personal appearances not show fodder. And elk does not stretch on any of his stories. Remember that great story he told about Colin Montgomery crushing an entire tub of custard?
Okay, so I win the PGA in 95, right? And I beat Monty. Monty. I play better than him. I don't give a shit. We go into the players' lounge, and in the lounge, because there's only four players playing on the semifinals, there's only four of us in there, right? Or two at the time. So me and Lisa, my wife, were sitting over in the corner. They got this buffet out there, mate, that's so spectacular. They got, and Monty's over on the other side. He's got 25 people. He's got, you know, royalty over there. He's got Prince William or Prince William's brother who might have to a time or two or whatever. I'm eating a cheese sandwich over here because I can't eat when I'm playing. I get too nervous. So, and in the middle of this beautiful buffet is a custard castle, replica of the clubhouse that went with is a castle. It's magnificent. Custard thing. I mean, mate, if you saw it, you'd say, f*** me, that's a good design on that custard
the
castle.
The architecture on the custard castle.
Just on the just f***ing architecture alone, Jimmy, is legendary.
You don't need that.
No. So I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, this is great. And Monty gets up. He's at the end of the table. And he comes over. And he gets a f***ing dinner plate. And he takes out the ladies' locker room. He takes out the pro shop. He takes out the auditorium on the back side of the men's locker room, and he takes out the porch on the back of the back bar. And I'm thinking, me, he's just destroyed this thing. He must be going to just go over and give it to the whole people, the royal family. Mate, he sat at the table with one spoon. I looked at my wife, dead man.
Oh, my
I
God,
said,
Elk.
There's not a man in the world that can eat that much custard can beat me. I turned him over at 5-4, mate. He was done. He was out the gate. Fixed him.
That is an amazing story. I said there's not a man in the world that can eat that custard and bleeping beat me. I turned him over in 5-4. That's Elk in episode 30. And I'm going to say there were at least 30 F-bombs in that story alone. What do you mean? What do you mean, Drew, that every story Elk tells seems like a stretch? At Canadian Hitman, or Hitman Canadians in, he tweets, that seagull ran. It ran so far away from the golf course, it had to get away. Flock of Haircuts. I love those guys. Let's see where to go. All right, so this guy, I'll go to that guy a little bit later on. This guy, on the other hand, man, I hope it's this guy. I don't want to get deked again. I'm having a good day. Is it the guy or the guy pretending to be the guy? Let's find out. Huntington Beach, silk bra. Bra, is it you or is it the guy who pretends to be you?
Bra, at this point, you know what I feel like when you come to me? I feel like when you have to reset your password and you get those security questions that, like, ask you, like, what street you grew up on. And
that's it.
Name
your
pet.
First
cat.
Right, right. Exactly so, right, Silk.
Yeah, listen, I was going to give Hawk a heads up, but he didn't come back to me. I'm so hyped with the Open today, and I know there's the DECA, yeah, but I was going to ask Alvy if he could give me a DECA bra for Getaway Friday.
You know, he probably could. Let's see.
Bra.
Dude,
bra.
You know how he gets. You got to hit him with that in the first hour, because as he gets closer to the week that was and hour number three, he starts to get his grip on. But that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, Alvy, that was hot. I got to say, that Open was Alvy Sergeant Pepper's. It was his Midnight Marauders. It was his Paul's Boutique. And there's nothing like that Elk story of Monty storming the ramparts of the Custard Castle. It was completely epic. And I believe every word of everything that Elk says, like when he was like shooting deer through an open screen door with a bow. He's awesome, bruh. Now, I always give you a weekend heads up, and I'm torn on this issue, bruh, because, as you know, I'm a big proponent of the sport of surfing, and the U.S. Open of Surfing is coming to my beloved Huntington Beach this week. And, I mean, I love the sport, but it turns downtown into a complete zoo. So I try to avoid that area. But if you want a good time, man, they got so much stuff going on. The U.S. Open of Surfing is going to be epic. You can follow it online, WSL, U.S. Open of Surfing. Check it out. It's really awesome. I want to give a little preview for next year's Smack Off. I know people rip golden tickets like the day after, and that guy's call was completely epic. But I'm working on something with Team SoCal. We're getting writers from left. I think I'm pulling some people from your old Showtime show. I've got some comedy guys, showrunners. We're going to work on something really epic for people to look forward to. It's going to be awesome next year. And just a tiny sports take. Bro, I'm worried about the Dodgers pitching. I'm really worried. Bullpen and starting. It looks like the AL East might be run. I mean, you could have a one-game playoff with teams that win, you know, 106, 107 games, and then, you know, the NL West is going to kind of back in again this year, so I'm concerned about that. But listen, bro, I love that you're hanging at Pelican Hill, full mosh, U.S. Open of Surfing, Alvy, let's do this. Have a good vacation, brah. Get to Camp Randall. I walked around on the field there at Camp Randall Stadium. It is one of the best times I've ever had. Get to a place called the Essenhaus. They all dress in lederhosen, and they drink from this huge glass boot. Hit it, brah. Later, brah. Brah.
Come on.
Come on.
Dude, you're like the 50th person to say, hey, man, you think about going to Camp Randall? Yeah, I've thought about it. I've thought really hard about it. It's probably going to happen. I don't ever remember having a vacation and getting more recommendations and more people saying, we got you, Rome. What do you need? What do you need? We can make a phone call for you. What do you need? Man, it feels incredible. I cannot wait to get to Wisco. Cannot wait to get to Wisco. Third hour on a Getaway Friday. Next.